has climbed every mountain, no matter how high. He has conquered the planets from sky to sky. But there is a place where man has not been, and that's where my Lord said he's buried my sin in the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness. Removed as the east is from west, far away from all power and principality. My sins are in the depths of the sea. Gone are the shackles and gone are the stains. I'm free from darkness from dawn. Please God, I'm forgiven. My sins are all gone. In the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness, removed as the east is from west, far away from
All right, if you'd open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this afternoon. Thank you, ladies, for that beautiful, beautiful song. I was visiting the hospital today, and I was visiting an older man, and he said, how can I be saved and be perfect to go to heaven if I repent today and sin again tomorrow? I said, well, that's the miracle of salvation and justification before Jesus Christ. Amen. And thank the Lord that He saves us, even though we're in this state of sinfulness. Amen. Well, this afternoon, I want to read a portion of the scripture in chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, all the way to verse 22. Verse 16, all the way to verse 22. Glad to be here today. Thank the Lord. I see a lot of new faces. The Lord, it's good to see new families in the church and see what the Lord is doing in people's lives. Amen. If you can stand with me as we read the scripture this afternoon, I'll read as you follow, and then we'll go from verse 16 all the way to verse 22. Verse 16, it says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the holy, of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers that of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered is sacrificed to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to what? They sacrifice to what? To devils. And then it says, and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with what? With devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table and of the table of the devils, of devils. And then it says in verse 22, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy, or are we stronger than He? And I want to take that verse this afternoon and dwell a little bit on verse 22. And it says, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Here we see the folks there in Corinthians as they were flirting with some activities that had to do with the devils. And folks, there's God's stuff on this earth, and then there's the devil's stuff on this earth. Amen? And the Bible doesn't, God doesn't want us, after we become His children, God doesn't want us to be unfaithful to Him and be flirting with the things of the devil. Amen? And God doesn't want us to be inconsistent, and God doesn't want us to give Him our back. God wants us to give Him our loyalty and our love and our affection. And everything that the devil does around this earth is to get us to keep our eyes away from the Lord, our affection and our love from our Lord. And if we're not careful, he can do it. And by the time you know it, you are so cold that you don't read your Bible, you don't even pray, and you don't even tell Jesus you love Him. And it begins to show in our lives and in our coldness and in our service to God. And so I want to speak to you tonight on, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? I was looking in the concordance this afternoon. Over 50 times the Bible mentions that the children of Israel provoked the Lord to anger. Over 50 times the children of Israel provoked. And why did they provoke the Lord? Because they gave their attention to idols. They gave their attention to things that they were not supposed to. And the Lord was angered, and the Lord got mad. And folks, you don't want to make the Lord mad. Amen. You want to keep the Lord happy. Let us meditate on that verse tonight. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? You know, God loves us so much, and the Bible says that He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. Amen. As we look at Scripture, you know, the Bible says that every good gift, comes from where? From above. Amen. Everything that we enjoy, even the good tasting tacos, there's a good place that I like to go. Sometimes, when my wife calls me, you know, I have to be honest and tell her where I'm at. Amen. The other day I had to. Amen. But my children get mad when I don't invite them. But the Bible says that the Lord even gives us what we like to eat. Amen. And He knows He doesn't sleep nor slumber, but He's always thinking about us. And the Lord is intimately in love with us. And folks, everything that we enjoy is because God loves us. Amen. And for us to be flirting with things that belong to the devil, and to be opening our affections to things that belong to the devil, you know, would be to be unfaithful to the Lord. And I want us to ask that question tonight to ourselves. Are we, Paul says, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for being so good to us. And Lord, we are so undeserving of being here tonight, this beautiful place where a lot of folks paid a great price for us to have. And Lord, many of us enjoy it. And Lord, thank You so much for this opportunity. And Lord, I've been praying that You'll make me a blessing, and that You'll help me, Lord, to be a blessing to our folks, to Your folks. Father, I pray that You'll help me not to say things that would offend, or things that would cause people to, Lord, not to want to listen. I pray, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, that You'll help me, Lord, to preach Your word, and may everything that we say would be understanding, and everything that we say today, Lord, would be honoring to You. And Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll help every teenager and every adult. Lord, as I was meditating on this portion of Scripture, Lord, You brought conviction to my heart, Lord, about my love for You and my affection for You. And Lord, it just makes me think so much how much You love me. And every time I I think about my health and the things you give me and my precious family and the friends and the things that you allow me to see and enjoy. Lord, it's because you love me so much and you give me a lot of things that I don't deserve, Lord. And Father, I just pray this afternoon that you'll help us, Heavenly Father, to, Lord, not to flirt with the things, not to allow the devil to take away our affections from you, Lord, and what we are supposed to be as Christians. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. When I was a young boy, I used to go to the movies all the time. And back in those days, I used to grab me a big old bag of popcorn. In Mexico, you could buy a lot of things with a dollar. And my dad and mom, they used to go to Mexico every weekend to see our folks over there. And I used to go to the movies. And when I was about 12, 11, 12, 13, and I used to buy me a big old bag of popcorn and a big old Coca-Cola. Amen. And I would sit there and enjoy those old-fashioned movies by myself. And then I started getting to know some friends and some of my cousins. And then one of my cousins introduced me to this little girl. And her name was Penny. And I remember I started talking to her. And I remember as I was talking to her that this other guy wanted to talk to her. And I got enough guts one day to go talk to this guy. And his name was Jane. And I told Jane, I said, Jane, I said, you better not talk to that girl. I said, I'm talking to that girl. And he said, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, I told him, I just want you to know that I know karate. And I'm going to beat the tar out of you if you don't stop talking to her. So I was wishing that the next week he wouldn't be talking to her so I wouldn't have to use my karate, you know. Sure enough, I went to the movies again on Saturday and he was there, and guess who he was talking to? So after the movie, I went over there and I told him, I said, hey man, I told you not to talk to Penny anymore. I was talking to her. He says, well, what are you going to do about it? If you want to fight, we can fight with her, for her. And so we went back to the back of a little shed and we started fighting, and he beat the daylights out of me. So that was the last time I decided to fight for a girl. Amen. But as a young boy, I started feeling what it means to be jealous. Amen. That was stupid. She didn't belong to me. And we were just friends. The Bible says, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All of us folks, if we're not careful, we can provoke the Lord to jealousy. As Christians, we can hurt the Lord. And when we're talking about provoking the Lord to jealousy, is we're causing pain to our Lord. We're causing pain in Him. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, grieving the Holy Spirit, grieving the Lord. When we are unfaithful to our Lord, we grieve our God. When we give our faithfulness and when we flirt with the things that belong to the devil and this world, we grieve the Holy Spirit. If you grieve the Holy Spirit, you are not going to have joy in your life. You are not going to have peace in your life. You are not going to have the Holy Spirit. It's not going to work in your life like He's supposed to. One day this woman and this man went out on a date. And as this the server came over, the man looked up and he opened his eyes bright. And as he was ordering his food, as he was talking to this girl serving, later on after he finished ordering, he looked at his wife and his wife was real sad. Her husband said, man, what's the matter with you? He said, well, the girl said, I didn't like the way you looked at that lady. He says, when you looked at that lady, your eyes brighten up. And women have that that intuition stuff, man, you know. And, you know, a lot of, they can tell some stuff, don't they, Brother Smith? Amen. And, the girl said, you know, I didn't like the way you looked at that girl. And I think a lot of times as we are flirting with things that belong to the devil, I think the Lord is saying, you know what? I don't like that. It hurts me. And folks, as Christians, we're supposed to be intimately in love with our Lord Jesus Christ. He's supposed to have our affection. He's supposed to have our love and our care, and we're supposed to be in love serving our Lord. And everything that we do, we ought to do it because we love the Lord. Everything that we do, we ought to do it because we care about showing Him that we love Him. I remember when I started dating my wife and we started giving each other stuff, and she gave me a cup of tea and she gave me this stuff, and she was just beginning to prove to me that she liked me, and she was in love with her Elvis, amen? She used to call me her Spanish Elvis. Miss Martha Badger asked me, why am I wearing a beard? I said, man, after 20 years being here, you gotta change something, do something to look better, amen? I don't know if it looks better or looks worse, but, you know, Brother Todd and I, we were listening to the songs, and Brother Todd was saying, what Brother Reed doing? You know, he couldn't hear. I said, Brother Todd, man, when we get to 50, you know, things start happening, you know? And, we were there all confused. But it's good to grow old with somebody that's about your age, amen, and you can understand each other. Praise the Lord. But let us ask that question: do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Do we cause the Lord to hurt as we are living our lives in this world, folks? The Bible says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." In Exodus 34:14, it says, "For thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord whose name is jealous." For the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. The Lord's Supper is remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is sad for us to remember the Lord just one day and forget the Lord the other 29 or 30 days of the month. And I think that hurts the Lord. One day I was visiting this hospital right here in the corner of Cooper and Randall Mill. And there was a lady there. I was visiting door to door. And there was a lady there with two of her legs were chopped off. And because of her diabetes. And she was there and she was hurting. And I went in there and led her to the Lord, thanked the Lord. And as I was talking to her, I asked her, I said, "Where's your husband?" She said, "Well, my husband came and left me here about 3 months ago. And my child came and left me here 3 months ago. And they haven't come back to visit me in 3 months." And folks, you know, I think that's how we are with the Lord so many times, that we don't even say hi to the Lord during the days. And I think we are so preoccupied with so many things in this life that that we provoke the Lord to jealousy. And if we're not careful, you know, we can get used to forgetting the Lord. And, you know, as Christians, we think that God overlooks our competing affections and the things that we look at and things that we do. And we say, "Oh, well, God is not watching, or God is not looking, or God doesn't care. You know, if I forget Him one day or 1 week, you know, you know, I love my family. I love my kids. Now I have my three older kids are working, and I almost never see them. And when I get to see them, man, I get to hit them in their back and beat them up sometimes. We went on vacation last week, and it was only Beverly and Danny. So, you know, we used to go seven in the Suburban, and we used to be all packed up, sleeping all over the place, you know, and it was so comfortable just being us four with Melissa and I and Danny And Beverly, it wasn't. And Bobby just kept on whining, man, I have to work. Man, I have to work. I can't go to youth. I can't go anywhere now because I got to work. But welcome to the club. Amen. To provoke means to stimulate or to excite to rivalry. And now that we've been saved, folks, we are supposed to be in love with our Lord and be close to our Lord and keep Him in our minds all the time. Now that we have been saved, we belong to another. Romans 7:4 says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another. That ye should be married to another. You know, when a person marries a person, they don't marry each other to forget each other. They don't marry each other to be arguing with each other. They don't marry with each other to be, mad at each other. They marry each other because they want to be smooching with each other. Amen? And they want to be holding hands with each other. And they want to be close to each other. And, that's why you marry somebody, because you want to be there with them and be together with them. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, now that we are saved, we are married to another, even to Him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. 2 Corinthians 11:2 says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to another husband, that I may present you as chaste virgin to Christ. Amen? So folks, you know, I tell my boys, I say, you need to marry somebody that you like. All my boys are handsome. All these girls like to flirt with them, you know? And they like to come over there and do all kinds of things, try to talk to them and stuff like that. And I tell my older boys, I say, don't marry a girl because a girl likes you. I say, she's going to like you, but you marry a girl that you like. That you want, I don't want a girl to be fighting for your affection. I don't want to marry somebody that you're going to have to be with her because she likes you. And folks, the Lord loves us and the Lord has saved us. The Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. But, I forgot what I was going to say. You know, if you don't write things down, sometimes you forget. But what I want to say is that God doesn't want to be competing with someone else or something else for your affections. You know, God doesn't want to be, you know, as we look at all the things that the Lord does for us. You know, we ought to keep a grateful heart. You know, as I think about my health and as I think about my family, as I think about, you know, what the Lord allows me to do for Him and for other people and to see, you know, I am grateful for that. Every day I come into this place, I tell the Lord, Lord, I don't deserve to work here. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve all the blessings that these folks give me. I don't deserve that. And, God's been so good to us here at the church and y'all been so good to us. And folks, we need to keep a grateful heart to our God and all that God does for us. Grieving the Holy Spirit has to do with being entertained affectionately with someone else or something else other than our God and our Savior. When we listen to the flesh or when we fall in love with some things in this world, John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if we are in love with the things of this world, the love of the Father is not upon us. That means that God is not happy if we are in love with things of this world. Amen? God is not happy that you give all your time to your car, to your house, to your dog, to your cat, to your job, to money, and forget about doing something for God. You know, if we're not careful, folks, we can fall in love with so many. We live in such a materialistic world. You know, we lived in our house for 20 years. That old little house, you know, 7 of us have lived packed in there. And, you know, I enjoy that little house. I love that little house. You know, sometimes we have to wait in line because we only have one bathroom. And everybody's screaming, hurry up, gotta go potty. You know, but I love that little house. All my boys are grown in that house. You know, we enjoyed so many things in that house. But folks, we've got to be careful with falling in love with this world. Being unfaithful to our God in our affections causes pain to our Lord and causes problems in our relationship with Him. Any couple that has had relationship problems is because they started forgetting about each other and proving each other that they loved each other. Amen? Every time I counsel somebody before they get married, I say, why are you going to get married? I ask that question. I said, are you going to get married so she can be a blessing to you? Are you going to be get married because so she can be a blessing to you or so you can be a blessing to her? You know, when you get married to be a blessing to somebody else. That's real love. Amen? When you get married because you want somebody else to be a blessing to you, that is selfishness. Amen? And the thing is, folks, that, you know, God has saved us. God has given us the Holy Spirit. And God has given us so much things that we ought to be willing to fall in love with Him and keep our relationship with Him and not allow us to fall in love or start losing our affection for our Lord. You know, the Bible talks about our first love. You know, when you first fall in love with somebody, man, you just want to be there all the time and talk to her all the time. When I started falling in love with my wife, man, I had pictures on the wall. I had pictures on the ceiling. I had pictures in my pocket. I had pictures in my car. I had pictures in my Bible. That's why I meditated so much in my Bible. Amen. And, your first love. And man, when you get saved, you want to be in church, you want to be in Wednesday night, Sunday night, and soul winning, and but if you're not careful, you start, you know, getting away from that kind of stuff. And, but God, you know, wants us to be, you know, the Bible says draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Amen? So, folks, we have to take our first step and draw nigh to God. If you stay in the same place all the time and you don't try to get closer to God, you're not going to get closer to God. Amen? A lot of times we stay in the same place and we don't want to do more for God and we don't want to go, you know, the extra mile for God because, you know, we don't want to take that next step to fall more in love with God and do more for God and give more for God. And, you know, God wants us to better our relationship with Him. You know, to be reading more of the Bible, be talking to the Lord more. I remember Brother Hyde used to talk about Billy, about Ma Sunday when she used to come over to First Baptist in Hammond and how Billy Sunday would be driving the old car and his mom would be on the side and Billy Sunday would be talking to God as he was driving the car. And folks, we can do that. Amen. Instead of listening to radio and all kinds of things. But when we talk about jealousy, jealousy is something that is red hot. You know, I looked up the word, the Hebrew word for jealousy, and the word is kana, and it has to do something that is really hot. And we were out in Branson, Missouri, and there was a guy there molding some metals, and he had this piece of metal inside the fire, and that metal was red. He took it out, started banging on it, started twisting it, but man, you could tell that metal was hot. Amen. And folks, let me tell you something. People outside, people inside the church, they need to know that somebody is red hot for Jesus Christ. Amen. And we are not to, you know, to try to please the world and please Christ at the same time and be unfaithful to our Lord. God says, hey, you can't serve, you know, the tables of the devil and the cup of the devil and the cup of the Lord at the same time. Mark 12:30 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That is the first commandment. And that is for all of us Christians. You know, we should be, you know, if we love our God with our heart and with our soul, with our mind, and with all our strength, folks, there's nothing else for this world or for other things. Amen. But, you know, the Bible has some promises for those people that love Him. And Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, a lot of people quote that verse and say, well, all things are going to go together, even though I serve the devil and I do all kinds of things to the devil. No. You know, the Bible says that all things work together for good. That word good means for your benefit, for your advancement, for your prosperity. You know, the Bible says all things work together. When you are in love with Jesus Christ, my friend, all things are going to work together for your advancement. Nobody can stop that. Nobody could stop Joseph. Nobody could stop Daniel. Nobody could stop those people that love God advancing in this world. But the Bible says, you know, and we know that all things work together for good. Joseph said, hey, y'all meant that stuff for bad for me, but God meant it for good. God blesses those people that are loyal to Him and makes things be beneficial to them. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know what happens when you fall in love with God? You know, all things start working together for good. But when you don't love God, you know, all things start happening, you know, for your bad. You know, the book of Judges, it's a book of just the people of God forgetting God. And then when things got tough, then they remember God. And then when things got good, they forgot God. And then when things got bad, they remember God. You know, and that's the whole thing in the whole book of Judges. But folks, why do we have to go through those valleys? A lot of times we can just keep on, you know, moving forward and growing in the Lord and growing in the church. I think a lot of times when churches get stuck and when people get stuck in their Christian life, it's because their love life with Jesus Christ gets stuck. And we fall in love with our houses. We fall in love with our cars and with our jobs. And we fall in love with money. Jesus said, hey, you can't serve money, God and money. In 1 Corinthians 2:9-10, it says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. And then it says, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know, folks, it is good to have a good meal. You know, how many of y'all like to have a good meal? Amen. Where were we? We were in a boat ride. We were in a boat ride over there in Branson. We went on a boat ride with Danny and Melissa, and they served us a good meal. They served some kind of chicken with spice and some green beans, and they served some brisket and some potatoes, and some preacher, what's his name? Oh, it's a preacher. Brother Kagan got us a good deal. He got us tickets that were $60 for $12 a person. And man, it was awesome. But we had a good time, and it was a great meal. And folks, you know, you can eat a good meal from the Lord and from the Word of God every day. Every day. The Bible says that if you love God, God will open the Scriptures to you. The Bible says that God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. That love Him. And folks, you don't have to be all bored and dry every day. You know, something that you have to do. You have to live the Christian life. No, you get to enjoy the Christian life. You get to enjoy the Bible. Why? Because God will open the Scriptures to you. Reveal means to make, to take off the cover or to disclose something. But it is so good to be in love with the Lord and see good things happen to you. And when you go to the Bible, it's not just like you have to read 3 chapters a day, but you get to read the Bible and you get to enjoy the Bible and you get to get something out of the Bible. This morning, I was listening to the whole book of Esther and about four or five chapters of the book of Job. And man, I was eating it up. I can't stop. Every time I start reading the book of the first chapters of Job, my heart just grieves, you know, to see that man go through all kinds of things. But I enjoy reading that stuff. God opens the Scripture. And folks, you know, what makes us enjoy the Lord? What makes us enjoy the Holy Spirit? The Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. The Holy Spirit wants to give us joy and lead us and guide us and help us enjoy life in this life and give us peaceful times. You know, but if we are in the flesh, this flesh is always going to get in the way of us serving God. Every time we set our affections on things of this earth, it hurts the Lord. You know, we shouldn't be, you know, sometimes when I see couples, I tell my boys, if you are talking to a girl and you're always fighting with a girl, you know, just, if you're fighting with a girl while you're talking to her, what do you think is going to happen once you marry her? You know, a girl and a boy after 18, 19, and 20, they ain't going to get better. You know, unless a caterpillar hits them or they wake up or something, you know, they're going to be the same. So, I forgot what I was going to say. I was a rabbit, folks. I don't know. Amen. But, you know, the things that we see, the things that we set our affections on, you know, can misguide us and can destroy our affections for the Lord. David used to say, "Mine eyes are ever towards the Lord." Amen. Mine eyes are ever towards the Lord. It is so beautiful to look up to heaven and I was flying to Florida last week to go preach in a missions conference, and I always love to get on top of the clouds and look into you know, out there where you can't see anything. You know, it never ends. And I don't know how many poems I have written when I'm in the airplanes, because it just fills my heart that God is such an awesome God that a lot of times we forget, you know? And we are in this world and we set our eyes on this world. And David, as David was growing up, David said, "Hey, mine eyes are always towards the Lord." Young people, don't let the devil get your eyes away from the Lord. I see a lot of you guys, you know, with a smile, with happiness, you know, serving the Lord, you know, but what happens a lot of times, they start painting their hair and start doing all kinds of dumb things and dressing like the world. And, you know, you get your eyes away from God and you get your eyes in this world and you want to be popular and you want to look at like this world. David said in Psalms 101:3, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." We should always be looking towards the Lord. Psalm 141:8 says, "But mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute." You know, that's where Solomon started getting away from the Lord. You know, Solomon started, you know, his ministry humbled. "Lord, I don't know how to lead these people. Please give me wisdom." And he started when he started reigning at 19 and 20 years old, you know, he said, he started calling upon God and God gave him wisdom. But you know, when Solomon's love started failing him, when he started giving his eyes everything they wanted, you know, the Bible says, "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the work that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." You know, when Solomon started keeping his eyes away from the Lord, that's when he started feeling it in his spirit. And folks, you start feeling it in your life. Are you happy? Are you glad that you're saved? Are you glad that you're God's child? Are you glad that you have a Savior? Or are you just looking on this earth and your life is just vexation of spirit and trouble in your mind? Psalm 53:2 says, "God looked down from heaven upon children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God." I wonder, when God looked down today from heaven, how many of us looked at the trees and said, "God, thank you for the trees. No monkey could do that." I wonder how many of us, you know, looked at the sun or looked at the moon and this morning, or looked at the skies and looked at all the things that we get to enjoy. And you say, "Man, God, you're so awesome that you allow me, a sinner saved by grace, to enjoy this blessing." It never ceases to in my heart to be thankful when I see people in wheelchairs and people that are blind and people that can't walk, to thank God for my health and things that I can enjoy. John said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The Father. It is so nice when little girls and little boys start looking at their daddies and they say, man, daddy, I want to be like you. I want to be like you. And I want to work like you. And I want to do things like you. And it's so nice when your children start, you know, praising you and making you feel special. I'll never forget one day I was going on a truck to the house and in a blue truck and Beverly was riding with me. I don't know if she was about four or five, something like that. And she had her arm around me and we were just, you know, flirting with each other in the truck. We were by ourselves and then she just started crying. And I said, man, I said, are you okay? You know, she was just crying and she couldn't look at me and she said, daddy, he said, I don't want you to die, Dad. And she said those words to me. She said, I don't want you to die. I don't know if she had heard that somebody else had died or something, you know, but we were enjoying the time and then all of a sudden she just starts crying. I said, man, you know, what was she saying with those words? She was saying, Daddy, I want you to stay alive. I want to enjoy life with you. And folks, it is so good to enjoy God and enjoy our Savior. And for us not to provoke our God to jealousy. If we're not careful, you know, we can allow the devil to get our eyes away from God. And, you know, when a woman or a man start looking to another woman or to another man, you know, what happens? You know, your affection starts going somewhere else. And then what happens? You know, you don't get to enjoy your wife. You don't get to enjoy your husband as you used to. You don't talk to your husband or your wife like you used to. Why? Because your affections are somewhere else. You're looking somewhere else. The devil wants to rob our affections from God. The devil wants to rob our love for God. The devil wants to rob our thinking from God. The devil wants our service from God. The devil wants to rob our emotions from God, our attention, our affection, our service from God. The devil is not happy, folks, that we're serving God. The devil is not happy that you're serving in a bus ride or teaching the eternal truths of the Word of God. The devil is not happy that you're out soul winning every week. The devil is not happy that you're giving God, you know, time and giving God money and giving God, you know, affection. The devil's not happy. He wants you. He wants to take that away and try to get you to provoke God to jealousy. Because if you provoke God to jealousy, God might get mad and punish you. What does that verse say? There in verse 22, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? And then it says, are we stronger than He? Or can we stop the Lord from punishing us? Are we strong enough and powerful enough to say, Lord, I want to flirt with the devil's things and with the devil's drink and with the devil's table, but you're not going to hurt me. And I want to stop you from hurting me. We can't do that, folks. You know, we got to be careful. We got to be wise. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 2:14, the wise man's eyes are in his head. Man, you think about stuff, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceive also that one event happeneth to them all. We've got to be careful where we put our eyes. We can learn a lot of things from Solomon. And the Lord Jesus said this in Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. And therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But then it says, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be dark, how great is that darkness? And then the Lord in that same context, it says, ye cannot serve God. You cannot serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. God doesn't want divided affections. You say, well, if I dress like the world, it's not going to affect God. It is going to affect God. If I want to be famous in the world, and if I want to, you know, please my friends and my pleasures and my sports and my, if I want to do the things that, like this world is like there's no God, folks. The Bible says you will love one, and then it says hate the other. You think the devil can get you to hate God and hate going soul winning and hate church and hate, you know, loving the Bible and hate doing things for God? The devil can do that if you're not careful. The devil can do that to you. Or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The psalmist used to say, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy ways. David used to say, you know, our eyes, folks, if we're not careful, what we focus on can cause us to forsake God's work. The Bible says, for Demas has forsaken me. And then it says, having loved this present world. Why do Christians quit on God a lot of times? Because they start looking at the world and they fall in love with the world, and then they despise their Lord and their Savior. And folks, you got to be careful. The devil can attack us through our eyes and deceive us like he did Eve. And the devil can distract us from the Lord. The devil can tie us up, you know, like he did Samson. Samson, you know, kept his eyes over there, you know, in the Philistine Philistine women. And I want that lady, he kept on telling his daddy. And if you're not careful, the devil can tie you up to some stuff that causes you to hate God. And cause God to provoke God to jealousy. The devil can tie us up. The devil can deceive us through our eyes, like Lot, Abraham, and Elimelech. A lot of times going to Moab, going to Egypt. The devil can cause curiosity in our eyes. One day, Dinah, Jacob's only daughter, said, you know what? I would like to go out into the world and just check the world out. See how the ladies in the world can, they live. And that curiosity in that girl, she didn't know she was going to go out there and get raped. She didn't know that she was going to cause all kinds of things to happen with her brothers and her dad, and a bunch of guys were going to get killed because of her. But she just wanted to go check things out. And folks, don't let the devil get, you know, some curiosity in your heart. Well, I wonder how, you know, a lot of you boys have your daddy has never given you a cigarette, never given you a beer, never taken you to dances, never taken you a beer joint. You know, and a lot of times the devil comes to you when you start driving by yourself. And he said, well, I wonder how it feels to listen to rock music. I wonder how it feels to go over there by the bar. I wonder how it feels to go over there by this place or do this place. And folks, you know what? We've been out there. Don't go out there. You know, it's dirty. It's ugly. It's nasty. It's bad. But if we're not careful, folks, we can provoke jealousy to our God. No man in here wants his wife to be flirting with another guy. You know, no woman in here likes her husband to be talking to another woman more than her. You know, it's crazy. I mean, and folks, God is like that. You know, God gets pain when you and I just fall in love and give our time to this world and give our love and our effort and our strength. And we are thinking just about how to make more money and how to do things for this world and how to get vainglory in this world. And, you know, a lot of you young kids, when y'all were kids, you were dedicated to God. You were given to God so you could serve God and your life would count for God, not for this world. What we love affects us. Not only what we see affects us, but what we love affects us. And I'm going to be done because I already passed 5 minutes. The Bible says, love not the world. The world can hurt you. The world can cause your relationship between you and Christ to get cold and indifferent. The love of money, the love of pleasure, the love of vainglory. And folks, you know, I don't want to get away from loving the Lord. I don't want to get away from thanking the Lord. I don't want to get away from using the life and everything that God gives me for the Lord. I want to use whatever car gives us, whatever money God gives us, whatever, you know, life God gives us to use for His glory and His honor. It's because of Him that we have everything and we get to enjoy. Let me ask you a question this afternoon. Are you provoking the Lord to jealousy? Is God happy with you or is He mad? Are you making God mad every day? You know, a lot of kids say, well, mom and dad are mad at me. You know, my mom don't talk to me or my dad is mad at me. Well, if you clean up your room, your mom wouldn't be mad at you. You know, if you do the things that you're supposed to do to obey and love your mom, that they wouldn't be mad at you. But the reason they're mad at you is because you're acting like a little boy, a little girl. You're already 17, 18, 19, 20 years old and they still have to clean your room. That's sad. Now, are we causing the provocation in between our relationship with God and us? Are we getting away from God? Are we falling in love with things? Or are we causing to get closer to God? Folks, it's our decision. You know, it's our decision. You decide. I hope you're not provoking the Lord to anger or to jealousy. You don't like to get hurt. But if you cause jealousy on God's heart, and God gets mad, God's going to cause you to hurt. I tell our folks all the time, everything in this world is going to stay here, folks. It's going to stay here. It ain't going anywhere. When Jesus comes, we're going to go bye-bye. Amen? We're out of here. So let's fall in love with Jesus. Let's not forget Jesus. Let's not make Jesus mad. Let's not provoke the Lord to jealousy or to hurt. With the things that we see, the things that we think about, the things that we give our affections to, you know, let's give our affections and our thoughts and our fellowship. Paul says to the Corinthian people, hey folks, don't be flirting with the tables of the devil. And the devil has enough electronic stuff nowadays that is causing so many people just to get hooked on that stuff. I mean, I'm talking about all kinds of applications you can play. There's millions of games on apps that you can get to be distracted from the Bible and be distracted, you know, from soul winning and eternal things. And you can fall in love with those things if you're not careful. And make the Lord angry at you. May the Lord help us to keep our love right with the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for today, for Your blessings. Lord, it's so good to remember You today. But it's so good to remember You every day in Your Word. It's so good to remember You, Lord, every day we open our eyes. It's so good to remember Your grace and Your mercy and Your love and Your kindness. It's so good to remember You, Lord, all the time. Father, I pray that You'll help us, Lord, not to flirt with this world and the things of this world. Help us, Lord, to be drawing closer to You and in love with You, and help us, oh God, to understand that You make us go forward and prosper if we love You. And You open Your Word and You do all kinds of things for us to help us, Lord, enjoy life. And You give us the Holy Spirit power and joy and peace in our hearts when we do the things that are right, Lord, and stay close to You. And Lord, help us to stay focused in the right things, Lord. And help us, Lord, to love the right things. Heavenly Father, if our love and our affection has gone cold and indifferent, and Lord, in our love life with You is not the same as it used to be, help us, Heavenly Father, to get back to talking to You, to reading Your Word, to enjoying serving You, Lord, and getting closer to You. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed today, I don't know how the Lord has spoken to your heart, but folks, if we're not careful, we forget to tell Jesus that we love Him. We forget to enjoy our relationship with Him. You might be here today and you say, Pastor Ricky, God has spoken to my heart today. There's some things I'm in love with this in this world and I'm provoking God to jealousy. I'm creating some pain in the heart of God and God is not happy with me. God has spoken to my heart about something. Pray for me. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Anybody like that? Amen. Back there. Amen. 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 Father, I pray for all these folks that you would help us, Lord, as you spoke to me with this passage. Lord, help me, Lord, to be more dedicated to you and to love you more and to serve you more. And help me, Lord, not to get away from loving you and serving you like I've always tried to do. Help me, Lord, to stay focused and winning souls and doing the right thing. Bless these folks that have raised their hands. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll just help our church to fall in love with Jesus and stay in love with Jesus and not allow the things of this world to stop us from serving you and loving you like we should. In Jesus' name, Pastor.